This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is.
Oh my God, Arthi, you sound so different today.
Hey, it's me, Arthi.
Okay, Tom, that's not even what you sound like. Hi, everyone. So Arthi is not here today because she's down and out from her second COVID shot. Yay.
Oh, yay.
But I have an Arthi sub. It's Tom Hamlet from Dumpster Dive. Hi, Tom.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited you're on. And then also we have a guest on the podcast today. It is Adam Newborn from the Romantic Realist podcast. Adam, I'm like a little bit starstruck.
What? Are you kidding?
No, I'm not, because I heard you on Dumpster Dive and I started listening to your podcast.
Oh.
And I was like, I love this human being because Your podcast, for people who are just hearing about Romantic Realist, it's a podcast about love and dating and everything in between. And, you know, I love listening to people talk about relationships. I think it's so cool. And I think that you can be friends with people, but you don't really know people until you know what they're like when they're in relationships.
Totally.
Because like, Your friend might be cool with you, but they might be a complete psychopath otherwise.
That is such a good point. I just went through a whole cycle when you said that in my brain about a person in my life. So sorry. I was like, that just rang so true to a certain friend I have. So
yeah, I could just listen to people talk about love and relationships forever. And I think it's so relatable because everybody wants to be loved.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, well, first of all, it's such an honor to be here. I'm a huge fan and I'm a huge fan of Tom. He knows I stalk him. And and his sister, who I'm obsessed with as well. I have her number. I text her sometimes. I'll get your number too,
bitch.
I don't have Tom's number because he did not give it to me, by the way. So
bitch, I know. I'm trying to start you.
I'm just saying that to start some shit on your podcast. This is a reunion. This is the Dallas reunion happening right now.
No, I have my dream. Why is it be Dallas?
We'll get into that in a minute. But no, thank you so much. I'm a very nosy person in general, and I'm also a huge romantic. So I thought, well, I am nosy and I love romance, so why not start this podcast about love, dating, and everything in between? And what I have found through the two seasons that I've been doing the show is I'm not the same person I was the first episode that I am now. A lot of my opinions have changed. A lot of my perception of what dating and stuff, I'm much less jaded than I used to be and much more understanding. And I what I love about the show is that it's people of all walks of life, all different races, all different ages, all different political views, everything like that. But what brings us together is love and dating and the struggles of that in between. So I'm so honored that you enjoy the show. Thank you. That's a huge compliment.
Thank you for putting that content out. It's lovely. So your opinions about love have changed. Now you enjoy The Housewives.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So we'd like to talk about our problematic love of these terrible people. So who, Adam, for you is your problematic favorite on Bravo?
Okay, so I'm going to do a problematic woman and a problematic man on Housewives.
Love it.
I think my problematic woman, who I love, and I know a lot of people don't like her, and she's not on the franchise anymore, but I fucking love me some Jill Zarin.
Oh,
she's not that problematic to me anymore, almost.
Well, I think for a lot of the dolls that were on New York, they think that she's super problematic. I think she's everything. I think we need to bring her back. I miss her. I think a lot of people would say Bethany, but she's fine. But that HBO show works perfectly for her, by the way.
Yeah.
It's perfect for her because she's just crazy and it works great for her. Problematic guy, I would say Melissa, what's his name? Melissa's husband.
Joe Gorga.
Yeah, I think I like him, but he's extremely problematic and gross.
You just want to fuck him, Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to fuck him.
Okay. Let's just get that straight, okay?
Sorry. Can we curse on here?
Of course.
Oh, yes, well, I want him to put me over that shoulder and take me to the bedroom. That's what I want. That's what I need. She's lonely.
You would like to meet Tarzan.
I, oh, called Jane. Like, I love him, but he's not someone I would commit to. I'd be like, thank you, get out. Yeah, like that.
He's a monster.
He's disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Jill Zarin, I think it gets tough with housewives because I feel like the longer a housewife has been off my TV, the more I'm like, was she that bad? Like somebody said Lisa Vanderpump the other day, and I was like, I forgot. Is Lisa Vanderpump actually problematic? And then I thought about it and I was like, she's actually not a great person.
I don't think she's that bad. I know you don't like that topic.
I don't like her at all. Did you see what happened recently or today?
Oh, with the like the Kyle and the Bill?
Yeah. Okay. So she was at lunch and she, which, okay, half the story I die for. The other half I don't. The part I die for is she sees Kyle at lunch and she says, she literally is like, make sure to give my check to her. And then she leaves.
Oh!
Which, okay.
Which I love.
I die for. What I don't die for, it's since come out that also while she was there, a fan like asked her to sign a cast photo of Beverly Hills, which is bizarre to me that like someone just had on hand like a cast,
yeah,
like an actual photo. No, but we see the photo and the photo has X's over all of the wives. And then like she like drew X's over all the wives' faces and then signed her name on her own body.
Okay, that seems like a plant. I don't think it's real.
Also, I don't see anything wrong with that. I would be so impressed saying, are you kidding me? If I was Lisa Vanderpump, I'd be that petty ass hoe.
Okay, here's what I don't like about her is that she acts like she is like saint who never gets involved in mess and who's so like above the drama. But then like we know that like undercover, she like sells stories and she'll do anything for a storyline on a show.
But doesn't everybody?
No, I know, but I would rather someone just be like, I'm a fucking trash reality star and watch me work.
So Rinna.
Yes, that's what I love. I love Rinna. Would you like Rinna, Adam?
No.
Wait.
Okay. I think.
I love Lisa Rinna for those reasons, because she owns her trash. But with LVP, you know, I don't think anybody, at least I never thought LVP was a saint. I always knew that she was artfully crafting drama. Yeah. And that's totally. Kind of, that was my favorite thing. She was the sniper from the side. And like, that's what I love about her. And I love that the sneakier she was, the more like Kyle bit down into her cuticles, you know? And I love that.
I mean, because I don't like Kyle. Yeah. I think Kyle's garbage.
I can't stand her.
I need her out. I need one of the greatest gifts was that when Teddy quit, never felt so.
She got fired.
I'm trying to be
you're
nice.
So sweet.
She got fired. She's boring. She was just, first of all, she came for Erica, who I used to love. But
I mean,
not
that's
in,
problematic, not Adam.
Oh, I loved Erica for
she's embezzled children, like dead children's money.
Oh, I used to love her, but then not, I don't like her now because it's a wreck now. Yeah. It's over now. Mm-hmm. But I never really liked Lisa. I thought she was dumb. She also blocked me on Instagram.
So. Oh, I love that.
Oh, I forgot about that. I love that.
Thank you.
You did say something mean, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I asked her why she didn't invite Garcelle and Sutton to the after party inquiring.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you talked about this on Dumpster Dive. Yeah.
That wasn't mean. I was asking a legit question. I just wanted to
know. No, that wasn't mean, actually.
That's okay. I've been blocked by Tom Sandoval.
Oh.
I know. Of all fucking people. Tom fucking Sandoval. Can you imagine? Like, does that make me a garbage person or him a little baby? Because all I said to him, he had this one post. This is like way back. This is when Instagram just started letting you post like 10-second videos. So this is like eons ago. He posted a video of himself doing a high kick in slow motion and like a wig. And so I tagged one of my best friends and I said, haha, oh my God, he's the worst. But like in a loving way. Like, oh my God, he's the worst, right? But I watch Vanderpump Rules because they're all the worst.
Right. Yes.
Every single one of those humans on Vanderpump Rules is sewer.
Yeah. So he blocked me because I said, haha, oh my God, he's the worst. And I was like, come on, have fucking thicker skin.
What does he do?
I mean, that's like Jack's move.
I would probably block someone if they said I was the worst. I think I think I would.
Get ready.
I think I. Adam, bitch, that's why you're blocked, okay?
That's why you don't text me back. Okay. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm not getting any texts.
But I'm send them. No, I'm. I love Tom. I love you so much.
I love you too, Adam.
All right. Well, you know, I think those are... Joe Gorga is very problematic, but I know that Ooh. A lot of people want to bone him, which is fine.
Yeah, just for... Honestly, I'm not saying regularly. Like, I just want him just once. Just the one. Tom knows who I want regularly from Summer House.
Oh, Uh-oh. Carl.
Carlito.
Everybody. All of us. It's juicy butt. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Yeah, and I think, Tom, you were just on Monty's podcast, and you said something like, what was your hot take?
My hot take was Carl's fat ass can never get fat enough.
Eat it. Just spoon feed it more.
The thicker he gets, the better he looks. I didn't like that he lost weight for the reunion.
No.
No, I was like, what are you doing?
What are those sandwiches? They're like Italian sandwiches. They're called like muffaletta. Muffaletta. They're like
I don't know what that is.
Adam knows. It's like a focaccia sandwich.
Your jersey is showing.
Keep it up.
Muffaletta? That sounds like a drink at Dunkin' Donuts.
That's actually my drag name. It's actually my drag name. So
Muffaletta.
Thank you. Welcome to the stage. Cat, 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 cow.
It's like a really big fat sandwich, and it's like made out of focaccia bread, and there's like a lot of meat and cheese in the middle. It's huge. It's like a cake. And that's what I think of when I, yeah, it's delicious. That's what I think of when I think about Carl's big juicy butt.
He's so hot. And I literally don't care. I mean, my God, what a man.
All right. Well, today we're going to be talking about all of the housewives. Unfortunately, we do have to talk about Dallas. But before we get into that, our last episode was Wednesday, and we started to talk about the Portia madness. Okay. And the funniest thing is, so we recorded our last episode Monday evening. And by that point, all we had known was that Portia has posted a picture with Simon, and we were theorizing what it could have been. Now, the episode released on Wednesday. By that point, we knew that Portia had stolen her friend's ex-husband.
Okay, I have some theories.
What do you call that, theft? I don't know.
Okay, so I have some theories. My first theory. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know much about social media. Okay, I'm not a social media goddess. I'm trying to grow a following, and it's not working. but what I'll say is, I have to think, if you're trying to get like a storyline out there, a post to go viral, something like that, you're not going to intentionally do it on a Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern time, which makes me think that a lot of this was unintentionally leaked. Like, why did she post her like owning up of the story Monday night? It's just such a bizarre time to like post something that is like on the level of like the Jen Shah arrest for the Bravo accounts. It's just like a big, crazy storyline. You know what I mean? That feels like, I think, something you wake up to on the gram is that Portia's announcing something.
No, I think Portia's not that smart in general.
Agreed.
Like, don't get me started about the Atlanta Housewives. I will disintegrate each and every one of them. I will flame all of them now.
I think I'm over Portia.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been over Portia. I don't like Candy. I don't like Kenya. I don't like Cynthia. I don't like any of the girls, honestly. I think it's like as good as Dallas at this point. I think it's one of the most boring franchises right now.
Oh, that is a hot, juicy take. You know what? I don't completely disagree.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because I feel like, first of all, are we talking about Portia? Sorry, I don't mean to.
Yeah, let's talk about Portia. Real quick, though, Tom, about your thing about her posting at 10 p.m. First of all, like Adam said, I don't think Portia is that smart. Two, I don't think Portia is like we think about those things of like, I have to time this post at a time when people are going to see it. Whereas like Portia's like, she could post whatever the fuck she wants at like 3 a.m. Millions of people are still going to see it because I don't think she cares that much. You know what I mean? But yeah, let's talk about Portia. So from the last episode to now, we now know of at least this podcast, we know that Portia is engaged to Simon, the Nigerian oil tycoon or whatever the hell he is.
Not to be confused with Simon Van Campen.
Yeah.
Tom, get off of this podcast. Love off. I'm obsessed with you.
Not the father of Francois. And what was the other child's name?
I don't know. Some white French name.
Okay. I'm obsessed with this.
Yeah. Yes.
Is it Jacques? No.
Jacques?
It's something with a J, but whatever. God damn it. Now it's bothering me.
No, you're right. It is a J. It's Johan.
Oh, Johan.
Oh, Johan.
Yeah, it's Johan. Not to be confused. Johan and Francois' dad. So weird.
Johan.
But okay, so Simon apparently has a ton of fucking kids. He's got 2 6-year-olds that are not twins, but they're both six.
Wait, I did not know that.
Yeah, the man has 2 6-year-olds that are not twins. So he's just, everybody gets a baby by Simon, basically. We know for sure that she is engaged to this man after supposedly 1 month. She claims that she and Fallon are not friends and that his divorce is apparently settled, which none of that is true. She was friends with Fallon. Their divorce is not complete yet. It's a whole bunch of shitty overlap right now. The timeline's fucked. But now the big other thing is people think that she's pregnant, and they also think that Fallon is pregnant.
Oh, well, did you not hear the breaking news on Wendy Williams this morning about this whole situation?
No.
No, what now?
Grab your drink and come close. So, apparently, as Wendy Williams, or allegedly, how you doing? She, allegedly. I love doing Wendy Williams impersonations. Anyway, so Wendy reported that this guy was hanging out with this other woman, and she like was posting photos and videos of them hanging out like in the drop top and all this stuff like that at the same time that he was dating Portia.
Oh, the girl from Buckhead
with the sweatshirt. Yeah. The white girl with
the white girl.
Yeah.
And she was on like that. She was on something Jasmine something radio show, something like that.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh yeah, like I knew nothing about Portia. I was hanging out with him, going on all this stuff. Like he said he hated his wife and all this stuff like that. So I mean, and when he was like, now Portia, now hold on now. Like you better run unless you're pregnant. Then you won. But like I just, T.S. Madison said it perfectly. She was like, you're sitting at my table eating my food with my husband, just plotting and plotting and plotting. And then now this, it's like, this is a dirty move on her part.
Yeah.
I think. I'm sorry. I mean.
Oh, nothing to be sorry about. I agree. That clip that's going around now of Portia being at the pool party this season at Fallon's house.
Yeah.
And Simon sitting there smoking a cigar is chilling to watch now.
It's, yeah, he's planning his next move.
It's so fucking creepy.
Men are gross.
Oh, men are gross.
The part of his statement that really made me grossed out is that he was like, I knew I would get married again. And it's like, your marriage isn't over.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? And something about Atlanta that it makes me confused and sad. A lot of emotions is that no woman on that show besides Candy and Todd has been successful in finding someone that is of value. Like even Nene dealt with so much issues with Greg, and woman on that show can figure out the example of like a good relationship. And a lot of them who are single can't live in singlehood either.
Yeah.
Like something I love about the New York women is that they just thrive in their singlehood and fuck around. It's like, why can't Kenya Moore just fuck around? Like, let her do that.
Yeah.
Same with Portia.
This desperate need, and like as a single man myself, I like being, it's fun being single. It's enjoyable, you know.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there's just like, why ain't you got no man? Why ain't you got no man? It's like, because I don't want no man laying in my bed and like stealing all my money and cheating on me and giving me all this emotional stress.
Yeah.
And like ruining my uterus with one of their seeds. You know what I mean? Like,
you wish, bitch.
If it's not Carl, I don't care. Whoa, send that out. No, but like, yeah, I just, that franchise, it's just, it's boring. I mean, it's like what Wendy said too on her show, at least Portia secured that peach for herself, because she really did. I mean, what a storyline.
I mean, she secured her peach, and I hope that she secured one for Fallon, I guess.
No, guys, I don't think she's coming back.
I think she's over it. She's setting this shit on fire. Like,
oh, you don't think Portia's coming back?
No.
You think she's gonna get fired or just like
no
stop?
I think she's done.
She's done.
Damn. Oh well.
Yeah,
bye.
I mean, I'll watch her again on the show, but I feel like next season we're entering into Nene territory in a bad way, where Nene stayed on the show when she had no friends just because she wanted the check and the fame. And I don't think Portia is that desperate for fame. She can be successful on her own.
Where
Nene can't.
I don't know, it would surprise you. I wouldn't be surprised if Portia came back.
I think that Portia is gonna see how she does this time where they're not filming. And I think that's probably going to be how she decides whether or not she comes back. Yeah. And that's, I agree. True. She was doing the Nene thing during the reunion. She basically became baby Nene. And I was like, that's not really who you should be. It's really, it wasn't fun. But, you know, congratulations, Portia, if you are having a baby, I guess. You know, you have a very wealthy small child.
Now, I heard a theory via Chelsea of Ono Bravo. She was saying this on Moni's podcast when I was with them. And this theory actually, I think, makes a lot of sense. Is that, like, if part of her and Dennis's deal was that she could have, she wants another child by him so they have the same father. Like, maybe they didn't even have sex, but just, like, IVF or something like that. She found out that she was pregnant with PJ's sibling, you know. While finding out that she was pregnant, she was actually already dating this man. Which is why she spent Mother's Day with the actual father of her first and now second child, and with who, like, would be, you know, financially supporting both of them. And also, she made a big comment about how they're going to be, like, this big happy family, like the three of them. At first, it sounded crazy. And then I was thinking about it. I was like, actually, I could see, like, her wanting to have another kid with Dennis, not in a relationship way, but just so one dad, you know? Because remember, she grew up in a situation where her and her sister did not have the same father.
I heard that theory too on the podcast, and I agree, because Dennis couldn't be more fucking thrilled that somebody else is going to be taking care of that child. That picture was fucking weird. Okay,
so weird.
The three of them standing there. I think somebody said, I think maybe Tom, you said it was like a prom picture. Dennis was like, "Here you go, like here's here's the baby and the woman, and you can have her now as long as I." He was all too fucking happy. Okay,
those Atlanta girls.
You know, whoever's baby it is, I guess Portia's gonna be riding in a PJ now. The PJ's gonna be riding in a PJ too, so good for
PJ. Got her PJ.
Best of luck.
Best of luck. Okay, unfortunately, we do have to talk about Dallas, guys. This this franchise needs to just, it's gotta go. There's no way, there's no way that Dallas continues to be on Bravo.
I will say that last reunion was pretty good. The reunion, the last episode of the reunion.
I think there are stories there that are interesting. I could see them bringing it back because the show, I think, cost them $0 to make, because, like, they pay these women nothing.
Literally.
They don't do much. They probably still make money off of it, because I don't even think, despite it, like, only getting, I think it gets like 500,000 viewers, that's still the same level as Summer House. Like, that's the same amount of viewers as Summer House has. And guess what? We're talking about it. Like, and I think that, I think they could do one more and try and do get something going with Tiffany, if Tiffany is able to come back. But
Tiffany's it, by the way. Tiffany is it.
She is, but if I was her, I don't know if I'd want to come on the show again.
Oh, I wouldn't come back.
Not if Shart Westcott's sister-in-law was on the show.
Okay, so this Dallas reunion was bad enough, but for anybody who's not on Twitter and social media all the time, the Westcotts really just went bananas on Twitter. You got Cameron, you got Court, you got Chart. Look,
No, we call him Shart. His name is Shart Westcott, okay?
Okay, these white people have lost their fucking mind.
Lost their mind on Real Housewives of Dallas.
Okay,
lost it.
It was like we have spent the entire season watching it and talking about these microaggressions that are happening to Tiffany. And you would
think, what did they expect? Sorry.
Yeah, you would think that, like, maybe they would understand or take something in, or at least just be fucking quiet. But, like, Cameron Westcott is the worst kind of person. But I'm really mad at the production team, and I'm really irritated with Andy. And the one moment where I realized, okay, fuck these motherfuckers, is when Tiffany and Cameron are forced to hug each other. It's horrible. It's like the worst hug since, like, Daniel Staub hugged Jacqueline Lurita in New Jersey.
And just lingered in that hug.
Lingered in the hug. Poor Tiffany was like, get this lady off of me. Yeah. And then they cut to break or something, and Tiffany's sitting there and she goes, "You'll make friends," they said, or blah, blah, blah. Like, she's saying that. And production goes, "But you did make friends. You guys just hugged, didn't you?" And I'm like, are you fuckers blind? Like, do you not understand what's happening? This woman is forced to sit there and make nice peace with her aggressor? Like, are you kidding me? And Andy motherfucking Cohen just sat there and let it happen.
You want to talk about problematic? Andy Cohen is problematic.
Yeah. Adam, tell me your thoughts about it.
Let me be clear about this. Tom knows how I feel about Andy Cohen. I think great job creating a franchise and multiple franchises that are wildly entertaining. I mean, I will never say that Andy's hustle is not a hustle that you have to admire his hustle. I mean, incredible work ethic and everything like that. That being said, I do think Andy Cohen is probably one of the most problematic people out there, right next to Ellen DeGeneres for me. That's just my personal opinion.
I think he's a nicer person than Ellen.
I'm sure. But I think that that situation was just so, like, not correct. It was like in the sense of like kind of going back to like the whole Monique situation with the reunion and how there was just this like whole focus on Monique. Like, you don't lay hands on people. You don't do this. You don't do that. But like, that's okay in New York and that's okay in New Jersey when shit goes down. Like, yep. Nobody's having like a think session with any of these white women, yep, in New York and New Jersey. But we have to have like a whole moment for Monique. And it's just like, okay, well, either it's everybody or you should just let Monique live, mm-hmm, in that sense. I'm going to say Monique was correct. Mm-hmm. You know, but I just, it's very odd what is chosen to be talked, yeah, about and what's chosen not to be talked about. And I don't know. I have an issue with production,
yeah,
in general.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree with you.
Well, and let us not forget, he said in that New York Times article, was it New York Times? Where did he have that article? There's an article that came out very recently.
I think it was New York Times.
I think it was. And he was talking about how he wishes that a lot of these people who have gotten let go due to cancel culture and racist remarks and stuff, how he wishes a lot of them could have stayed on the show because, like, there's a redemption level and there's a learning process that is important for people to, like, see instead of just getting rid of them. Which I see what he's saying, yeah, in some terms where it's like, it is important because white people are only going to learn from white people, unfortunately. It's the only way that demographic is going to learn about a lot of stuff, I think.
Absolutely. And I think that's true. Yeah.
But at the same time, when people lay hands on each other, why can't we let them also learn from those mistakes as well? Mm-hmm. Like, when black, right, women lay hands on each other, you're like, well, get her off the show. But it's, mm-hmm, like, well, why can't Monique work through her anger problems on the show? Like, you want to keep Kelly Dodd around for, like, creating this army of racists.
Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Monique can't stay around. Yeah. Do you guys follow Jonathan Chandler on Instagram? He's a writer. He's a contributor for a lot of different, like,
yeah,
articles and magazines. But he wrote an article for Betches that just came out today, I believe. Yes, today's the 13th. It's titled, Dear Bravo, Adding Diversity Doesn't Automatically Eradicate the Racism from Your Shows.
Bingo. Thank you. Yep.
Read the article. Yeah. I read it this afternoon and it's really great. Essentially, it's about just that. Like, sometimes obviously diversity is important, but sometimes I get worried when we throw one person of color into a group of white women, what the fuck's going to happen? It's like they expect that, like, Ebony is just, they expect that they just fixed New York with throwing Ebony in. And it's like, well,
yeah.
That's going to take time, you know?
Yeah, because you're having women of color pop in to do the emotional labor of teaching these white ladies a lesson. And look, I get what Andy's saying, where, like, white people are going to learn from each other. But the problem that happens at the reunion is Andy is still forcing Tiffany to be the one that explains these things to these morons. He's not sitting up there and going, wait, but guys, like, this is what she probably means. You know, I think that there is some responsibility that he needs to take in how he talks to these women that are clearly, yeah, behaving poorly to other women. And I get that he wants to sit up there and be neutral in a lot of situations, but these types of things are not the ones that you want to be neutral and silent on. And even then, it's no secret I do not like Brandi Redmond, but even the way he was talking to Brandi, he was like, the way he talked about, like, Brandy's mother-in-law passing away in that, like, horrific accident, all that trauma that her daughter went through, he was, yeah, kind of callous about, like, how he said it. And he was like, oh, so sad this tragic thing happened, and also there's a video of your husband cheating on you. Like,
yeah,
it was all sort of said in the same
salacious.
Like, it was really icky. It was like, I don't like Brandy, but in that moment, I actually felt really bad for her. I was like, this is not okay the way this is being done. But then, even with Brandy and even holding Brandy accountable for the shit that she did or how she treated Tiffany, it was like just glazed over. Like, the entire two reunions, there was more time spent where Tiffany had to explain why she was offended.
Chicken feet.
Yeah, on chicken feet. goofy.
Why are we talking about this?
And also, like, Cam is so dumb. I think, and I only watched it once, but I believe that what she said when she pulled out her receipts at one point, she goes, Twitter had you remove your post about whitesplaining, right? But she goes, it says it right here. And she read the thing and it said, your tweet has been deleted from Tiffany Moon's Twitter. Mm-hmm. So Cam said that Twitter sent her a note saying your tweet has been deleted from Tiffany Moon's Twitter. So was Cam's tweet removed by Twitter or was Tiffany's tweet removed by Twitter? Cameron is so fucking dumb. Like, it was, Arthi said this last week, all of Dallas and especially these reunions are an assault to our sensibilities as people of color watching this show.
And this is my issue with Andy. And like, I keep saying this is like, he appreciates and loves Black culture. He loves so many different things that have to do with people of color. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate that he celebrates that. But then like, you also do need to hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he does that. Yeah. I just don't think he does that. I think he glazes over stuff. I think he puts a Black girl over here. He puts an Asian girl over here. And it's just mm-hmm. like, and I'm just like, but you're the creator. Like, yes, of course, these are all women of a certain age. We're all at an age of accountability. But as like the creator, you're kind of, for me, it's a thing of like, when you create something, you are then putting it on a platform and allowing things to happen. You're not setting guidelines. You're not stopping certain things. You're not saying like, I don't care how well you're liked. I don't care how much money you bring into my franchise. What you said was inappropriate, because he has done the same thing with Marlo, mm-hmm. with Nene about homophobic things.
Yep.
And totally legitimate. And I totally agree. However, that needs to be across the board. Yeah,
exactly.
That needs to be across the board. And like, I know I might get a few DMs that are a little mad at me, but I don't like Andy Cohen.
Oh, it's okay. Don't worry. Our listeners also don't like Andy Cohen. So any DMs that you get where people are mad at you are not our listeners. It's somebody else.
Also, I can handle it. Don't let the small frame fool you. I'll get you together.
No one has to know how small you are. It's just on social media.
You just said I was 4'11", bitch, earlier this
week. I don't think we were recording then.
Oh, we weren't. I love you, Tom. That's my bitch. I fucking love Tom.
Well, let's talk about New York then, because... Ooh. We do have, Adam, I wanted to ask, what's your favorite franchise? Is it New York?
It's a tie between New York and Beverly Hills.
Oh, wow.
Not Potomac?
Oh my God, I was just going to talk about Potomac.
I thought you loved Potomac.
Oh, Potomac's number one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm sorry. How did I forget my dolls? Karen, queen of everything that matters to me.
Karen is a listener of this podcast. Let's just get rid of that.
Karen is my everything. Karen, I love Karen so fucking much.
I adore her.
Did you see this look that she posted?
Oh my God. Breathtaking.
What? Like,
full Simone, like, hair thing.
I mean, it was everything to get me through the day. It is. She's wild. I love, so Potomac's my favorite, then New York and Beverly Hills, and then everything else can just be on.
Karen Huger, because we've got to talk about it for just a second. I love Karen Huger because Karen Huger gives me like everything that Luann gives a lot of people, but like a better, because
better. Delirious, crazy, fabulous and lovable. I mean, when I tell you I want to go to brunch with her and just let the night day continue, like,
oh, you wouldn't get much time with her. She'd be gone after she finished her meal. I don't think she's one to hang around, really.
Oh. I'd be like, no, you sit here, bitch.
She can't really drink.
Sit right here.
Oh my God, I love
my favorite Karen moment is when her wig was like a little askew with that buzzer. She goes, hold on.
I think about her all the time.
It's my favorite.
And then it's like on backward. Oh my God, it's so
cool. I mean, it wasn't even a wig. It was a hat. It was gently placed upon the head.
Oh God, I love
it. So anyway, yes, those are my three favorites. Okay. Sorry, we were talking about New York.
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay, so let's talk about New York. So this week in New York, the ladies went to the Hamptons. They did a fake Burning Man situation. And Ramona said a bunch of problematic shit in her house. I thought it was a very good episode. Have you guys, either of you been to Burning Man or had any desire to go to Burning Man?
No.
Okay,
do I look like the Burning Man type?
I don't know, guys. I don't know.
No, I'm all set.
No, it's... It seems like wild shit like rich white people do. Is that?
Yeah, no one's wearing deodorant.
Who said I was rich?
I'm just saying, you guys, it's very cool. Okay, so I don't know. I'm like a suburban mom. Like, I don't know who's going to birth.
Not me, honey. It's too hot. It looks like it's too hot.
It's too hot.
I need to do that, bitch. I need AC.
Very stinky. You're right. Nobody seems like they're wearing deodorant.
Tom and I at Burning Man would literally look like this.
Because I also, like, don't do drugs like that. Like, I love marijuana, yeah. But, like, I don't indulge in anything outside of that, really. I mean, I've dabbled, but nothing really does it for me. And, like, I want to do shrooms really bad, but I don't want to do shrooms at a music festival.
I want to do shrooms as well, but I don't want to be in a desert with a bunch of people that I don't care to be around. I want to be, like, in a room with blankets and pillows and romantic comedies playing with, like, a good glass of wine.
Yes, same.
You know what I mean, bitch? Bitch, I'm going to come over. We'll do that. That sounds lit.
Yes. Yes. But I don't want to be in my apartment. Like, I want to be, like, upstate at a house. Like,
yes, honey.
Like, you see space. Yes,
in the fall. Yes.
Yeah, that's my shrooms journey. Yeah.
Would you do shrooms at Ramona's Hampton House?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
I was thinking about the bedroom, bitch. I was like, how do I get back to my room? I'll know how to get back to my room.
There, I mean, there would inevitably be a story there. So, like, of course I do that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I was surprised that, considering it is Real Housewives of New York and considering there's been a lot of critique about Burning Man or people that attend the festival doing a lot of cultural appropriation, that there was none of that this episode. I was pleasantly surprised.
Well, Luann did look like an insurrectionist. Oh,
not an insurrectionist. Tom. Her outfit was wild.
Am I wrong?
Her hat.
She does not look like a Q supporter.
Mom said she looked like she had horns on her head and had bears for her.
She did. She literally really did.
Oh. Tom, listen, tune into the dumpster dive with Tom Hamlet. My God, what an icon.
I'm so annoyed because that joke is funny that I just made, and I did not say it on my podcast earlier today.
You know what, Tom?
I did it.
I'm going to use it as a preview clip for the episode, so you're
good. Great. Oh, my God.
See, it's times like that where I'm like, I need a Twitter account, but then, like, because I'm like, that's a tweet right there.
That
like,
is a tweet.
It is.
But I don't have Twitter either.
No, I can't do it though because I don't. Twitter gets so mean. Like, I don't. And so granted, mean. I just called Luann an insurrectionist. So I mean,
allegedly.
Allegedly. But like, I don't want people coming for I don't want feedback off of that.
Instagram can get a little tricky too, by the way. Instagram can get a little tricky.
I mean,
people came for me for writing shitty things on Kyle's account.
Tom Sandoval did.
Sounds like you're a troll.
I mean, if the jewel on the belly button fits, why not wear it? You know,
Adam, I can't.
Okay, we segued. We
I'm a nice person.
We derailed.
No, you are so nice.
Tom, okay. I love this. Thank you so much for having me. I'm having a great time.
Same.
So back to the costumes at this party. Dude, Ramona, you know, she's a pain in the ass, but that body really is quite something. Good Lord, yeah, those boobs.
Got it together.
Oh my God.
She drinks like a bottle of wine and two martinis a night and looks like that.
I know.
Meanwhile, over here.
I know. I'm like,
I guess I'll do sit-ups.
What's that fish that like lives in the bottom of the ocean that has like the like big like the two triple chins? Like that's what I feel like I look like.
So ridiculous. Okay, first of all, you're both beautiful. Okay.
Thank you. That was me fishing for a compliment.
Don't talk about my friends that way, okay?
Thank you. I've been moisturizing.
Yeah, everybody looked great. They had this healer come. Wait, before they had the healer come, Ramona is doing a tour of the house for Ebony, and she shows her the bidet. And then she sort of implies that she uses the bidet to masturbate.
Work.
Oh, yeah, she does. Hey, Liv.
I
was like, okay.
Whatever gets you going.
You know, it's there to clean your butt, but okay.
Yeah, turn it up.
You probably, if you reverse cowgirled a toilet seat, you could probably get the feeling right, don't you think?
You don't need to reverse absolutely. Cowgirl, I have plenty. Because the bidet has like the settings to like point in the direction of your vagina.
Your vagina. Like
you're familiar.
Well, we're a bidet family, so
Save
I'm
the
not saying that I've used it for that.
Okay,
we're bidet since day one, honey. So
listen,
anyway.
I'm on bidet.
Bidet one, if you will.
Oh God, that's not going to make the preview.
That's not a tweet.
We'll take that out in post.
They have this healer come, and Ramona, as usual, is like a real pain in the ass to the healer. And then they all are sitting around and they're talking about the things that they, I guess, want to improve about themselves or whatever. Ramona puts on her baby voice, which is always just so insanely psychotic to me. She's so psychotic.
Crazy.
But I love it. I could watch her. And then also it's so funny because the production team also knows, because as soon as Ramona starts talking in her baby voice, the music in the background turns into like clown music. Have you noticed that? It's like boom, 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 boom. It's amazing. But the girls start screaming. Everybody's screaming out their emotions. And like Leah's having this emotional moment because her grandmother is sick. And so she's screaming and crying. And then Luann screams, but she waves her arms in the air and she looks like a fucking Muppet.
It was incredible. It was wild.
Or an insurrectionist.
She was reliving the moment.
January 6th, baby.
I remember.
Oh my gosh.
But no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but overall, what did you guys think of the episode? I thought it was fun. And I liked that Ebony at some point was like, I'm done. And I'm going to go sleep in my room. I was like, yeah, that would definitely be me.
Oh, 100%. I've been there. Where I'm like, night. And
yeah, I thought it was a great episode. I thought it was fun. I can watch them do anything. One of my favorite moments was Ebony's. I have two Ebony moments that I want to talk about. One is I died when she said, in quote, if a blouse and some pasties makes you feel great about yourself, live. Bitch, live.
Yeah.
Yes, honey. That's it. I mean, I'm so stoked about Ebony. She's so fun. And I love that she's friends with Leah, because Leah's my favorite. I love Leah. I think Leah's great. Leah's amazing.
Oh, okay.
I'm shocked by Ebony and Ramona are getting along so well. I'm very shocked by that.
I don't think it'll be long because Ramona is talking down to her a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's like, she's that woman that like yells at a blind person. Like, that's the type of person that Ramona is. Like, right. You're like, why are you yelling at them? They can hear, they're just blind. Like,
right.
That's how she's talking to Ebony. Yeah. It's like, she's not dumb. She's black. Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, she's the kind of person that would like meet me and then like enunciate all of her words because I don't know.
Okay.
Absolutely. The other Ebony thing I want to talk about is something that I red flagged a little bit on Ebony as like a person, but I think it'll be great for the show, is when she was talking about her ex-boyfriend and how she said that the reason she broke up with him was because he wanted to be with his children.
Yeah. Oh, no.
During a global pandemic.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm like, wait, girl. I'm like, you she has a bit of Luann self-absorbedness about her that I think we'll see, which I do love for a housewife, but I don't think she is like Leah, and that a lot of people like think Leah is like the housewife for the people. Like, she's just so like more normal to a lot of people, or more grounded than other housewives. I think Ebony is just a breath of fresh air, but I do think she has some housewife material that is going to be interesting to watch.
Oh yeah, I think I keep hearing her say that, and I just want to be like, oh, what else? But that's not it. That's it. She's like, well, he wanted to spend time with his kids during the pandemic, and I was like, you didn't want to join him?
No, and like, also,
just respect the time.
Also, like, you were in New York and he was in New Jersey. Why are you acting like he went to Guam?
Mama. I was like, is he in South Africa? Like, what's happening on this day?
Yeah, it was weird.
It's a 30-minute ride. Like, there was no traffic during the pandemic from New Jersey to New York. So, like, it's a 20-minute drive.
Well, and also, too, I think if you're a housewife, you have to be a little tick, tick, boom. And I 1000%. I think that that's her little tick. Like, it's going to be interesting to watch her date. I think that's going to be a real, like, we're really going to see some good stuff from her too.
Also, she said last episode that she was dating the owner of a football team and he was like a minority owner. And then I looked it up because I was like, who is she dating? There's only two minority football owners. And one is a Pakistani man. He's the owner of the Jaguars.
Work.
And then the other one is like woman of color. I don't know what team she owns. But I was like, who did she date?
Well, and I also love her theory of dating, like, don't date the talent, date the owner. And I'm like,
it's perfect.
I've never dated an owner. I've only dated the talent.
Yeah, of course. I like to fancy myself the owner, but I'm not.
I know that's right, bitch. I know that's right, bitch. I own 58% of this company. You're welcome. I'm so glad you clocked that, Tom, because I've been hearing her say that over and over. I was like, but like, I just want to know what the problem was.
Yeah.
Like, is that really the problem, or was his like dick not working? Like, what's happening? Like,
because for me, I like have come to terms in the past like couple of years with how I don't think I want to have children. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be like the uncle to so many children. Like, I have so many friends that are gonna have a lot of kids, and like, Brian, my partner, does not have any interest in having children either, and I'm like, I think like that's okay, like, and I feel really confident about that. But if she wanted to date someone who had children, she did it, and she clearly wanted that. But then why were you so mad that he went to be with them? Like, you dated had a long-term relationship with each. I think she like knew the kids too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was about to marry the dude.
Yeah, it was odd. I think there's something else there. I don't think that's it. I don't think that's just it. And if it is just it, that's fine. But like, for good TV. But in general, I'm just like, well, I don't know. It's weird. Yeah, but I love it.
Adam, I'm sure you know this. This is like your podcast covers it so much, but like, you can be a very great person, could be great in your career. You could be super woke. You could be a lovely, empathetic, humanitarian human being. You could be an absolute monster in a relationship. So like, it could be that Ebony is like a real selfish person when it comes to her relationships, or she wants all of the attention in her relationship. And that's why she wasn't okay with this man going to be with his family in New Jersey during a pandemic.
Totally. Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, I think there's so many people that are good humans in general, but in relationships, they're a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, it brings a different side of you. And I think that's what's so interesting about relationships in general. It's like, it's a different type of thing rather than a friendship that I, you know, have. I'm different in a friendship than I am when I'm dating someone, because it's a different piece of my heart or whatever. So you act differently and you're a little bit more protective, and it brings out some tick tick boom aspects of your psyche. And I think maybe that's hers. It's like, and we don't know what happened to her in the past, and you know, jealousy, and why aren't you giving me all this attention? So I think there's a lot to unravel there, but I'm super stoked about her. I think she's doing a bomb ass job. And I think all the women on New York, like, I don't think there's not one. I mean, I can't stand Ramona, but she makes a great housewife.
Essential Evil.
I think the New York is the best franchise right now.
You know, I really miss my Dorinda. I do. I know she's a
monster. I know. It's so sad. I miss Dorinda too, but speaking of problematic, I mean, the way that she just came after Tinsley, it got uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
So many times. I'm indifferent about Tinsley in general, but I still thought it was like, damn, Dorinda, like, cool it.
Yeah.
I don't miss her.
Oh, that's okay. You know what?
It's not that I don't think of her, like, which I think is,
no, I know.
I don't, when I watch the show, I'm not thinking about her. And like, there's been seasons where we've lost women, and I've like, when Bethany was gone, I was like, okay, this is weird because like, they were talking about Bethany so much, and like, but like Dorinda, like, she went out with such like anger that like, I'm happy she's not there. Like, I really am. But I also think that I definitely think she'll come back.
Yeah. By the way, just to put it out there, Adam, I know that you said you love Leah. I almost ejected you from this podcast. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a Leah fan either.
Oh, I listen, I think maybe love is a strong word. I do enjoy her. I think she's fine. She's like, okay, I'm trying to think of who else she would be for me. She's like, what's her name from Potomac? Robin. She's a Robin to me. She's fine.
Leah is a Robin to you.
Yeah, I think Robin's fine. She doesn't do anything.
Interesting. I think Leah's a real shit star because I saw the previews for the next episode. They already like released it, right? And apparently she sits around at the table and then she's like, what are we going to do about Heather? Because Heather's been talking shit about us. And
I love that Heather's back, by the way.
I love Heather.
Well, not for long.
Yeah, it's just for like a brief moment she shows up. But the thing is, like, Leah is so offended by this woman who has been previously on the show, talking about the show and talking about these castmates. And she's acting like she's coming in defense of Luann and Ramona. But Leah herself is talking shit about them all the time on social media. So, like, yeah. I don't understand why Leah is so, like, hopped up and defensive of the franchise. And, like, but you've been on the show for one season. I get it that you're, like, a fan favorite. But, like, you don't come for Heather Thompson for, like, just going and talking about the show. You're going to talk about the show eventually when you're not on the show anymore. So, like, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, I think the real reason that she doesn't like Heather is because they have a very similar career path.
Yes.
And Heather's career path was a bit more lucrative than Leah's was. Like, they were both working in the fashion appropriation business.
Corporation.
Yeah, it's called
appropriation.
No, no, I didn't say corporations. I said appropriations.
Oh, I thought you said corporation. No. I was like, what corporation?
No, they're both
appropriation. Yeah.
Yeah, like FUBU came out as like this, like, for us, by us, black athleisure in the 90s, and then Married to the Mob is essentially just like for us, by us, for white people, by white people.
Literally.
And her fashions are not great. She had that sweatshirt with a bow on.
It's a choice.
Yeah, yeah. Also, like, I don't know, something about Leah, and I don't know if this is just like me being oversensitive or whatever, and maybe it's with good intention, but Leah is doing this sort of protective thing with Ebony that I don't love.
Oh yeah, it seems like she doesn't want Ebony to be around anybody, and I'm just like, that's odd. Why not? Like, I feel like she needs, I could see it in the first episode. I was just like, why is she starting stuff and frowning already? Is she trying to get Ebony all to herself so that, like, it's like a team situation? That kind of concerns me about how Leah's story is going to be this season, because like, I'm concerned I'm not going to like her by the end of the season. That is a big concern of mine. I mean, not a concern, like, I don't know her, it's fine if I don't like her. I'd be more concerned if like something happened and I didn't like either one of you. I'd be like, what am I gonna do?
No, I think I agree. I can, it's something about her is like, one, I didn't like the first episode where she's already like kind of riling Ebony up about these women. And two, when she's there, she said something at the end about something about like when Ebony goes upstairs, she's like, you know, Ebony was really vulnerable in front of these people. And I understand like shutting down once you're vulnerable around these people. It's like Ebony shared, this like moment, and she like kind of like got a little weepy. She's probably just walking away from you guys because you're a bunch of hammered old white ladies, and Ebony was like, I've had enough. Like, it has nothing to do with her vulnerability or her emotions. It was like, I don't need Leah speaking for Ebony, and something about it is rubbing me the wrong way. And I know that some of that might be my own sensitivity, but I don't love that because I also just don't like Leah. So it's like the other thing.
Yeah, no, I see it. I see what you're saying. The more you're talking about it, the more I'm like, I need to keep my eye on Leah.
Yeah. Let's talk about New Jersey. Very surprised that this was the New Jersey finale, by the way. I did not realize that the show was over.
I think Summer House had more episodes.
Yeah. It was very short season. They had this Halloween party. The Aidens had an anniversary dinner, and they're just stealing my heart. And then what else happened? Oh, and then we met Louis, Teresa's new boyfriend. Okay, what do we think of Louis? Apparently, allegedly, Louis was part of a sex cult.
Louis looked like he allegedly did a couple rails and had a couple of vodka sodas before he sat down at that table. I've never seen someone with such an alcoholic skin tone.
Oh.
There's never been someone redder on television.
I mean, just, he looked so puffy. I was like, my God, sir.
And this is coming from someone who, I have naturally very like red tinted skin and I like to drink. So, you know, I, from one to another, let me just say, you like, check yourself. You're on television, okay?
Tubbs said he is I and I is he, okay? So I know what's up.
I'm just like, I have two drinks and I'm like red. Water. Yeah, you have to hydrate.
Tubbs said, get a glass of Pedialyte, you fucking bitch. No, I... Yeah, he's fine. It's fine. I don't know. He photographs
different than he appears on camera. Did you ever
I know
that?
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Yeah, in and the words of voice. Cardi B, I know that's right.
Yeah, I also was surprised by his voice.
Oh, like, yeah.
Something about him seemed very polished in that he knew that he was going to be on TV. Like, he had his whole, like, thing. He had, like, a shtick down. You know, like,
he wants
seemed
to be on TV, by the way. He knows the camera, as my drag mom says. He wanted to wear the wig. Like, he absolutely. He wanted to wear the wig. I have to be honest, I literally don't care. Like, I don't care either.
I actually don't care.
So sorry. I know this sounds really harsh. I literally don't care about Teresa's storyline. I think it's wild. Boring. The only one I care about is Marge. Marge for the win.
Yeah, I agree.
I have a spinoff show for Marge, and I would watch every single episode. I mean, Melissa Gorga, that whole situation, by the way, I mean, I don't think what's her name was wrong a few seasons ago. I don't think about the situation that she said, but I do feel like there's stuff that is so, like, produced out of Melissa. I also don't like Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like a lot of people. I feel like I've been saying that a lot on this podcast.
That's okay. That's the whole point. We don't like them, but we watch them.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we watch the show, because I like them.
By the way, the hottest guy, I actually am going to take away my hottest guy moment on Jersey. I think the hottest guy on Jersey is Jackie's husband.
Oh, yeah.
Evan. Oh, yeah. He's objectively so hot.
That's Tom's boy.
Something. I'm not into him. He literally lay on top of me fully clothed. I just want to feel the weight of him. He is so hot.
Him with that stash, I was like, porn, full 70s porn moment. I was like, I'm into it.
I said,
Wait, that made me laugh because, you know, in Summer House, there was like Carl. That was like a Carl thing. Carl would always really put your weight on me.
Woo! My
Adam,
God.
Adam, you weigh like less than my cell phone. I can't imagine you putting your weight on anyone.
Thank you. She's been juicing. No.
I'm not into Evan, but I know a lot of people are, and I respect your choices. Fine. But he's not for me.
I would stalk him and make him bring me home.
Oh. Yeah, that's right, bitch. You better work. You know what? I cannot wait till the three of us are all together, just at a bar, just gossiping like some three birds. Oh. I can't wait. Yeah. I cannot wait for that day.
Oh, hey, that mask mandate was just lifted. I'm fully vaxxed. I can go anytime.
Yeah. I know, that's right.
Yeah, I've had my vaccine since January. I've just been fucking sitting here waiting for people to hang out with me.
Listen, I'm three hours away. I can hop in my little Volkswagen Beetle and toot toot all the way up. Honey, I ain't scared.
So they have this, speaking of Marge, they have this great Halloween party. It seems like, I guess, just a lovely time in a suburb of New Jersey. I want to ask the question, do you think the Gorgas knew what a chauvinist was when the word was said?
I think Melissa does, but I don't think Joe does. But no, I think he Googled it.
Yeah. He was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, it was so dumb. It was like, I don't even understand why this is a discussion. I don't know why it took like three commercial breaks to talk about it in the last episode. It was like way too overproduced.
Yeah.
I really hated it. I don't care about Melissa and her ass backwards husband. We know Melissa, we've been watching you guys for seasons upon seasons. We know your relationship and we don't give a fuck. You're still married to him and it really doesn't matter and it's not interesting.
So I have not believed any of this Joe and Melissa storyline, but then I actually, this episode, started to believe it. And Kix and I were saying on our pod that, like, if you carry a storyline for long enough, the storyline might just become real. Like, I think that part of it was like half joking when it started. And then, like, now, like, as it after he did the thing at the Dolores at the party at what's her face's house to Dolores and like all that stuff. I think that the storyline has become real actually, and I do think that there's actually issues, and I do actually believe Melissa, and I don't like Melissa, but I do believe her when she says, if you think it's happening, it probably is, and it's actually probably worse than you think.
You know, I agree. I think my issue with it is that I don't believe this is a new thing. Like, I think that Melissa may have realized it now, but it's like, Melissa, this isn't a surprise that you're in this relationship that is so ass backwards and your husband is the way he is. Like, nobody thought he was some Prince fucking Charming when we met you the first time and all he talked about was railing his wife. Like, he's not some like sweetheart that we've like all fallen in love with. We know who Joe Gorga is. I do agree with you that it might be one of those things where like she's realizing as the show is going on that maybe this like fake thing is a real thing. I agree with that. And yeah, Adam, I also love Dolores.
Oh my God, I love Dolores, or as Wendy Williams calls her, Black Dolores. I think that's the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. She says it all the time. She's like, Black Dolores, I love her. Dolores is the black one. I mean, obsessed with Wendy Williams.
Yeah.
But no, Dolores is everything. I think she's my favorite one. She's neck and neck with Marge. The only reason why I think that Dolores is a little bit more my favorite is because of how much she can't stand Ramona.
Yes. Okay, so we've not talked about this on the podcast ever because I keep forgetting. But yeah, there was this interview where Dolores just fucking goes in.
Flamed.
Oh my God, it was amazing. She straight up called her a dirtbag. She was like, Ramona's a fucking dirtbag. And I was like, I love you. Like,
the thing about Dolores that I love is her approach to relationships and everything like that. I recognize myself a lot in that, where it's just like, yo, like, whatever makes me happy and whatever brings me some type of joy or whatever, like, that's my business. Like, whatever you want to do over there, it's totally fine.
Yep.
But like, if I'm not hurting myself, if I'm not hurting others in a malicious, horrible way, you don't get to have an opinion about anything.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can, but like, watch your mouth.
Yeah.
And I think that's something I really, really enjoy about Dolores. On top of, she's gorgeous. Like,
stunning.
Dolores is stunning. I think she's one of the most prettiest housewives out there, like top five prettiest housewife out there.
Yes, absolutely. I love the season about Dolores that she finally was like, fuck you guys, I don't really want to talk about my relationship anymore.
Yeah,
I want to do it. It's not interesting, and you guys have terrible relationships, so why would I want to mirror my life like you guys? Like, there was an episode where Melissa was like, I wish that somebody would like give their life for you, and I was like, Dolores doesn't seem like someone who would want that. She doesn't even want to inconvenience people when she goes to the doctor, so what the fuck would you want to like
I was just, when Melissa said that, I want to be like, yo, shut the fuck up. Like, nobody cares about your opinion that has to do with anything that has to do with relationships. Like, shut your mouth.
Yeah. Dolores has had this life. She's done all this shit. She did the good wife, good Italian wife thing, and it didn't work out. And now she's got a handyman ex-husband who is riding her coattails to money because he needs that Bravo check.
Yeah.
So he's just going to do whatever the hell she wants. And she's got this fantastic doctor man who's laying it down in the bedroom,
so
built
sweet.
Her a house, gave her a Porsche. What's the problem?
Yeah.
What's like, not to love?
I want that life.
Yeah. Good morning. Hi. She's single.
Yeah. How do we sign up to be Dolores? Who does Brielle have to blow for us to be Dolores? Okay.
I think Adam's down for anything. So.
Hi. I'm lonely.
But I will say my favorite couple is Jennifer and Bill Aiden. They're lovely.
So cute. Yeah.
I'm just very surprised because I did not like Jennifer before.
Yeah, she sold me. She sold me.
She's quickly like one of my favorites on TV. And it blows my mind that Andy Cohen clearly hates her.
Oh.
But she's wonderful. She's great TV. She wants to get hammered. I really need Marge to calm down with this like shaming her for drinking.
Yeah. Not cool. Yeah.
She's got like a billion kids. She wants to go and party. Let her do it.
Yeah. I think, I mean, like, just Marge, just, it's fine. Leave her alone.
Yeah.
Leave her alone. Let her be fine. I like her. I think she's a good time gal.
Yeah.
She really looks like a good Judy.
I really don't. I really don't like the drinking shaming. It's so silly when Jen does not have an alcohol problem. She just likes to have fun, and who the fuck cares?
No.
Yeah. I like to turn it up too. You know, like, I think that gets a little tricky. But it's also like, if you're jealous about it, then join the fun. Don't be shady.
Yeah. So they had this moment where they had this little anniversary dinner with their family, and then Bill proposed to her. Okay, I loved watching that because, you guys, that like just happened to me.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. So I've been married for 10 years and very, very much like Jennifer and Bill, I was never proposed to by my husband. We were together for 3 years before we got married, but like he never proposed to me. It was very like traditional in that his dad called my dad and then we were out on the date. And then my mom called, was like, you're engaged. And I was like, okay, I guess we're engaged. It was like very traditional. We did have an engagement party and he did give me a ring, but it was like, he never got down on one knee. He never asked me, will you marry me? And then, so we had our 10 year anniversary is in July, but in March, we were out to dinner in the city with the kids. And he proposed to me proper.
Oh.
With a new ring. And it was gigantic.
Yes.
It was huge.
Show us.
And
show us. Oh,
it's in the bathroom. I'll put it on later. But it's like a honker. It's huge.
I mean, what is this?
I was like, is the mortgage getting paid this month? Like, what's happening?
He said, yes, Bo.
But it was so lovely to see that on TV because the thing I love on Housewives and just in reality TV in general is when you show unique stories that are different and wholesome. And like, I think, you know, we're seeing a lot of diversity. I will say Jennifer is a more diverse cast member in New Jersey, and it has actually worked quite well. You know, she gets to show different parts of her culture. The very first season, she talked about her brother having this arranged marriage. She talked a lot about that last season. Yeah. She talked about her mother having problems with her brother being gay. Like, we're learning all of these things.
Yeah.
And right now with her mom and her dad, like, I actually think Jennifer is the one person where we have a diverse cast member and it works so well.
Yeah.
Like I loved it. I love that. Like, it's little things. And I mean, I'm just like getting kind of, I got a little emotional watching it because it was so much like, oh my God, that's my life. And then also it's a little thing, but she said to her kids, you know, Baba never proposed to me. To hear somebody on TV call their husband, like call their father Baba, it's brand new because you don't see that on TV.
Yeah.
You're dead, right? And it's like something so little, but it was just done really well and I loved it.
That's awesome. Yeah,
I love her.
I think your husband seems so sweet too.
And congratulations.
Yeah, my husband's an angel. I'm obsessed with him.
I mean, I stalked you on Instagram.
Oh, he's so cute.
Yeah, he's hot.
So cute. Oh, God.
Yeah, and he doesn't know it.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, keep it that way. No idea.
Call him a dog right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but also, like, Bill is great. And he, like, stuck up for the women. And he told Joe Gorga to fucking listen to women. And Joe Gorga was like, you're drunk. I was like, I don't listen to Joe Gorga. Yeah.
I will say the Jersey men are the, like, I love watching the Jersey men interact. I think they're adorable together.
Mm-hmm.
Adorable. Yeah.
Do you think that other franchises would be better if we had more spousal involvement?
Wow. I don't know. I think it would make for great TV. I don't think it would be the same type of serendipitous, really beautiful camaraderie that we see on Jersey, because I think in other franchises it gets a little tricky with who they're married to. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, you think about the New Jersey, you know what I mean? Like, do you see what I'm saying, Tom? Yeah. Like, I think like you look at the New York husbands and you're just like, ugh. There's a lot of mess over here. Even the Potomac husbands, like,
Husbands has a Michael Darby. So, like, what are you going to do with that?
Well, Atlanta used to actually be like that, and it was good. Because remember, they would do couple strips in Atlanta. Yeah. Like, and they were really successful.
Yep. Yeah.
But then, you know, things kind of went away. But I think it's case by case. I love when the husbands are in play. That's why I love Married to Medicine, because the husbands are like characters in the show. But yeah, it's case by case. Like, I don't want to see anyone's husbands in Orange County.
Oh. No.
I don't watch that anymore.
No, I don't either.
No.
I mean, New York, early seasons New York, the husbands are very much involved.
Yeah.
We had the famous tennis match against Simon and Jill.
Oh my God, that's right. Oh, my God.
And never forget when Mario called Luann countless.
What a flex. What a flex.
I love that stupid show. So good.
So good.
Well, the reunion looks good for New Jersey, by the way. We already got it. a couple of previews, and that Jennifer Aiden is really coming for March.
I live for it. It's so fun. It's fun.
Yeah,
I live
it. Let's get it going. Let's do it.
It's not that deep. You know what I mean? Like, yes. That's what I like about it. It's like, we're not talking about cheating scandals or things like that. We're literally just like, I don't like you. It's like,
yeah, you're annoying.
Just like fun base fights. Like, you know, like, that's why we watch the shows.
Yeah, like one of the previews showed that they're talking about this whole stupid thing with that Michelle Pius came on and she talked about Joe Gorga owing them money, which was so fake. But Jennifer tells Marge this, and Jennifer says that Marge said to Jennifer in that moment, of course, my husband knows Joe Gorga never pays his bills or something like that, right? And Marge denies that this was said, but Jennifer was like, no, Marge said it. And I was like, of course Marge said it, because everybody knows that that's true. Joe Gorga doesn't pay anybody. Like, duh. But I love, like, that's the type of fight we're having. That's a relatable thing where you talk shit about your friend to another friend, and then that friend, like, blows your shit up.
I have to say, though, like, I don't think I would be fun for reality TV, because if I was like, Tom said bada boop doop boop, and if you went over and you were like, Adam said that, I'd be like, I did say that. And I'll tell you now that that's what I feel. You know, because like, it doesn't bother me to just be like, yeah, I said that. So I would be boring on
that. Yeah, no, I would say the same thing.
Yeah. About me? How dare you?
I would be like Lisa Rinna when she was cornered.
Oh, yes. So you're like, what? Wait, who? What? Me? What?
Yeah, I do not
that whole like meme of her like doing the math problems. Did I say Kim was near death?
It's like, and Erica was like, yeah, you did. And you know if Eric is getting you together.
Yeah, I'm definitely that person where I'm like, I talked shit about you. Oh, I did, but I'm going to pretend like I don't remember. What else were you going to say, Tom?
I think there's a lot going on in Bravo. We're in a very transitional period. We're moving from one set of Housewives to another.
Yeah.
I do think we've been in a little slow moment. A lot of the Housewives, I feel, have been a bit on the snooze side of things. But I think we're heading into some exciting territory with New York as New York heats up. Beverly Hills and Potomac will be here before we know it.
Can't wait.
Now, real quick, I do want to touch on this because it just came out and I saw you storied about this, Tom. But the Winter House name has been released. And it's apparently called Summer House Winter Fucking Charm. Can you? You guys, I hate it. I hate the name. Okay?
Who hire me, Bravo, because I can come up with so many better names.
What tired-ass queen is working there making these bum-ass titles?
Also, Winter Charm doesn't make sense because Southern Charm. Like
thank you. So and I was like,
it should be Winter House Northern Charm.
Thank you.
Yes,
if we're
going to
swap
like
it.
That.
Like it just doesn't make any sense. House.
I don't know. No. What about just Winter House?
I think Winter House sounds great.
So great.
Winter House sounds great. Why do we have to give credit to Southern fucking Charm?
Yeah, Southern
People
Charm.
People are mad at Southern Charm. We don't need to talk about Southern Charm.
Well, and also, did you notice that there was like WTs next to everything, which I guess I found out from Kiki Talk of Shame's Instagram that means working title for some of the other shows. But Summer House Winter Charm is not a working title. That was the one that was like, that is the title.
Girl,
we could all have jobs at Bravo.
Somebody get my bag. I gotta get out of here. This is ridiculous.
But I can't wait to fucking watch. I'll tell
you. No, I'm gonna watch.
Oh, I'll tell you that.
Oh my god, don't get it twisted. Yeah, I'll be there.
I hate the title, but she's gonna watch.
Okay, real quick, would you guys let Austin Kroll throw it in?
No. He looks like a fucking Muppet.
He does.
And it's awful.
It's insane to me. He's like a young Harry Dubin to me. Like, why do all these women want to fuck him? I don't understand.
Money.
But I think Harry Dubin is hotter. Austin's...
Whoa.
I said what I said. I think Harry Dubin has, like, dad energy.
Oh.
Okay. Well, to each their own.
I'm not saying I want to have sex with Harry Dubin, but I'm just saying he has to be doing something right if he's had this many women. And, like, I feel like Harry Dubin minus 15 years would have been like pretty like hot dad.
Okay.
I bet
he was like hot early 40s.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things like Wendy. I keep quoting Wendy Williams. I'm sorry.
Wendy, come on the podcast.
I know.
I'd love to have you on.
I'm a Wendy watcher. Wendy, I think with that situation, it's like what Wendy says. When she was like, if you dim your eyes a bit, you can see it. I think that's how what you're saying. Just dim your eyes and you're like, okay, yeah, there it is.
Would you let Simon put a baby in you?
Who, Van Kempen?
Stop being so I'm in Van Campen into this, Tom. You're killing me.
No, to both.
Well,
it sounds like you think Adam and I are easy.
Yeah, it sounds like you are you calling me a hoe?
I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there. I just want to figure out, you know, what you guys be up for. You just admitted to Harry Dubin, so I don't understand what you like, is what I'm trying to say. Okay.
Oh, shit. She said, I don't get you, bitch.
Listen, just remember, no matter what, guys, hashtag love wins.
There you go. Love is love is love is love.
Oh my God. I can't.
I can't.
God.
All right. Well, Adam, it was lovely to have you on the episode today. This is a hoot. Okay. I could have saved all of my content. Wait, do you watch Married to Medicine?
I was just going to admit I've never seen an episode.
Gotta watch. It's great.
Not because I don't want to. I just I don't.
Just hop in from season one and it's an easy ride. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. If you binge Summer House, honey, Married to Medicine is the best show on TV.
All right, I'll get into it.
It has Potomac energy. Like, the women are very funny, like Potomac.
I see that from them.
Yeah.
I see that from them.
They're wonderful. They're perfect.
Well, I wanted to say thank you so much for having me. I adore you and I love Tom so much and I'm obsessed with both of your podcasts. It's really an honor and I'm thankful that you're a listener of The Romantic Realist, available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I'm insanely in love with both of you and I'm so honored to do the show. And if you ever need a filler guest, I'm your girl.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, tell everybody where they can find you.
Oh, hi. I'm Adam Newborn and you can find on Instagram. The podcast is The Romantic Realist Podcast on Instagram and my personal account is anewborn87. And you can follow our podcast, The Romantic Realist, on Spotify as well as Apple Podcasts. We just finished our second season, but go back to the first episode and just enjoy the ride.
Yeah, it's amazing. And Tom, please do plug yourself.
Yes, you can follow me at the Tom Hamlet on Instagram. You can follow the podcast at Dumpster Dive Pod on Instagram. We have episodes on Mondays and Fridays. We chat about everything, so check it out. Rate, review, not just my podcast, but Adam's podcast and The Reality Is, because it is a free way to support your favorite podcasters. So do that.
Yeah. And everybody, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday. Bye.
Bye.